now persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through
gracious Heavenly Father. We thank Thee so much for our gathering today to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And as our hearts depend upon Thee, help us to be ever more thankful in our minds for the opportunity to sing psalms of praise to Thee and to encourage one another by the words that are sung. In Your great plan of the ages, You plan for Jesus to come and to give us a great blessing of hope within us, and today as we sustain that hope and by which we'll be saved, we thank Thee so much for the privilege of teaching others. May others who hear this message by way of the internet and who hear this message by way of our personal testimony to them be impressed for good. Thank You so much for Your love and care for us everyone, for our families. Bless our families and bless us all with safety as we travel about, going about doing Thy work and Thy will and Thy way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Be seated. in preparation for the Lord's Supper. Let's turn to number 588. 588.
Tis said of peace divine, the bread, the fruit of the vine, and saints commune before the shrine in the supper of the Lord. May we
beginning in verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the sacrifice your Son made for us. He hung on that cruel cross, and Father, we're thankful for his love for us. Father, we, as we partake of this emblem, which represents that body, Father, we pray that we do so in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this fruit of the vine, which represents that precious blood that was shed for us. Father, again, we pray that we partake of it, do so in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord's Supper being ended, we have an opportunity to get back at this time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the offerings you bless us with. Father, we're grateful for the kindness and the love you show us each and every day in blessing us. Father, we give back today. We pray that we'll give back with a cheerful heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This morning. Today is February 14th, 2021, for taping purposes. If you would at this time, let's mark our song books at number 692. 692 will be the song of invitation. And then once you've marked that, let's turn to number 496. 496. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore by and by. In the sweet,
in the sweet by and by,
we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that blessing it is to be with you each one this morning and to study with you a lesson that would otherwise be on the board, but I didn't want to bring down the chart and bring down the things and bring over the computer and all that goes along with the coolness of that in there to illustrate this morning a passage that is found in the book of Acts chapter 13. And these passages in the book of Acts chapter 13 represent the full teaching of the Old Testament of your Bible. This is the summation of the Old Testament of the Bible in Acts chapter 13. I want to start out by talking about the fact that there was the Word of God being preached and taught, and there was a man there whose name was Sergius Paulus, who was a very, very intelligent and very thoughtful man, called a prudent man. In Acts 13 at verse 7. And notice what we have to say here. Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of the Lord, the word of God. Now, if you don't mind underlining in your Bible, underline word of the Lord there. And then go on to verse number 8. But Elimaaz the sorcerer, that's who he was talking about earlier, Elimaaz. Elimaaz the sorcerer, so by his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Underlined in verse 8, the faith. It is the word of God that he wanted to hear in verse 7. And the man who was the sorcerer desired to turn him away from the faith. Then verse 9 says, then Saul,
who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? In opposing this man hearing the faith, the word of God, Paul says that he was perverting the right ways of the Lord. Underline righteousness, because he was the enemy of all righteousness, and he was perverting the right ways of the Lord. Four different terms used in reference to the same body of teaching that Paul was doing to Sergius Paulus. Easily seen, isn't it? The word of God in verse 7. The faith in verse 8. The righteousness of God in verse 10. And the right ways of the Lord in verse 10. And now, verse 11, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Underline doctrine of the Lord. That's a fifth term, different set of words used in reference to the same body of teaching. The body of teaching was the word of God in verse 8. Verse 7. And the faith was in verse 8. And the righteousness was in verse 10 that was objected to, and perverting the right ways of the Lord, verse 10. And now then he's saying that the deputy, when he saw what was done, this man made instantly blind the teaching that was given to him. He believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. The fifth term there in reference to the same body of teaching. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. They obeyed the form that was there. They were not natives of that particular region. They found themselves going to the synagogue. They tell us that there were 6,000 of these synagogues that were in the land of what we know as the land of promise, the land of Judah. 6,000. They wanted them to be within walking distance of most anybody who lived in the huts and houses there close by. They could walk there and they could hear the reading of the Word of God. There were leaves of that Word of God that was written down. And the teaching of the old law was written there. And they would have a certain part of that that was done. You remember when Jesus sat down one day? They brought him the leaf of Isaiah. And he read from Isaiah that this is fulfilled today in your hearing. And it was a prophecy regarding him and his ministry and his work. And so they brought this idea here. They sat down and the reading of the law and the prophets had been done. And one who was presiding officer of the time said, Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel and ye that fear God, ye of audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our father and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lots. And after he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet, and afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God appointed to his promise, raised unto the Israel a Savior, Jesus. I want to stop here at verse 24 before we go on to say this is a summation of all that time from Egypt to the time that Jesus came to this earth. And it's a pretty good summation, isn't it? In reference to this, when John first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Paul is saying to them, this is the message of that Old Testament. This is the message that you've heard now. This is the message I want you to hear now. And if you are of the mind to be humble before God, to hear his word, it's the word of this salvation sent. I want to stop here just a moment to say, what was the word of God over in verse 7 of this chapter that Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, wanted to hear? The word of God. What's this word of God now as described here in Acts chapter 13 at verse number 7? Among you feareth God, to you is this word of this salvation sent. It's the word of salvation we're talking about here that Sergius Paulus wanted to hear. He may not have known all that was involved in it, but he wanted to hear that word of the Lord. He wanted to hear what these men said that could cause a man to be blind suddenly, who objected to hear the faith and hearing the righteousness of God and hearing the right ways of the Lord. This man objected to it and he was made blind instantly. And so he heard the message of salvation. When they went on teaching, were they teaching different things in different places? No, they were not. They were teaching the message of God's salvation from sin. Verse 27. And they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. I'm going to stop here at verse 27 saying, when Jesus came, he came to his own. And in John chapter 1, it clearly says, his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the exio, the reasoning power, to become the sons of God. Even those who believe on his name. They were believing on this name of Jesus, the deliverer. He was the deliverer for them. And he came to teach them. And thus they were to be taught the word of God, the word of their salvation. When we continue to teach today, what are we teaching the people? When we teach them to come forward and repent of their sins, be baptized into Christ, begin living faithfully that way of life, begin worshiping God in spirit and in truth, what are we doing? We're inviting people to that salvation that the word of God was proclaiming right here as Paul went forth in this region of Europe. He says there in verse 28, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, They took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. When you and I partake of this Lord's Supper today, we're reminded of the body of Christ broken and of the blood that was shed and of his death. What is not a part of this right here is the wonderful thing that we rise up from and we remember. He is yet alive and yet partaking of the Lord's Supper with us in heaven. For in Matthew 26, a passage that's often read for our hearing here, Jesus said, I will not drink henceforth this fruit of the vine till I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. We're in the kingdom of God's dear Son. In Colossians 1 and verse 12, he's delivered us from the power of darkness and put us in the kingdom of his dear Son. We're in the kingdom of God. And as we're in the kingdom of God, we're expected to show that we live in such a way. And in the church, we as members of the church are to fulfill our membership. If we're a member who can see, we're a member who can see, we could use it fully. If we're a member who can serve, we can member serve and serve fully. We can do the things of God in a righteous way. That's the way God wants us to do. And so as we do that, we're faithful to the Lord, and so ultimately someday the Lord will come again. And his angels will take out of the kingdom all that offend and all that commit iniquity. Then shall the righteous shine as doth the sun in the kingdom of their Father. There will come that day and time where we as faithful members of the church of our Lord, serving the Lord as we should, find a blessing that's eternal, referred to as the eternal kingdom of God. If we add to our faith virtue, according to 2 Peter 1, if we add to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love, so an abundant entrance shall be administered to you into the everlasting what? Everlasting kingdom of God. He that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar, hath forgotten he's purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. What a blessing we have when we follow the way of God and do his way and do his will. And as we find that way of Lord and we ask him to forgive us of our weaknesses and our failures to his will and everything, he hears us and he rewards us greatly. Notice what he says here now as we go on in Acts 13 at verse 29. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. Galilee, remember, is in the north. And they came down 30 miles or 40 miles to Jerusalem, who are witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us children, in that he raised up Jesus again. As it is written in the second Psalm, Thy my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another Psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. In other words, when he died and when he was buried, he was not there long enough to begin to decay. His body was not beginning to decay. He was not going to go that far. He was dead. He was died. He proved that he had died. Now that he was buried in that tomb, and thus in that tomb, he was not there long enough to corrupt, not there to decay. For David, as he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. He decayed. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. He didn't decay. Jesus did not decay. Now King David did, but not Jesus. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. What's this message of the Word of God do? It saves us. It furnishes to us the forgiveness of our sins. The things we've said is not right. The things we've done are not right. The misuse of our bodies, not right. He is forgiven. What a blessing it is. And by Him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore lest that by come upon you which was spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. I will work and work in your days a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declared unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought him that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Here's now the seventh thing that this body of teaching that was being done there in Acts 13 to Sergius Paulus. That body of teaching that's referred to in verse 7 as the Word of God, referred to in verse 8 as the faith, referred to in verse number 10 as righteousness of God and the right ways of the Lord, referred to in reference to this matter of what the man believed in verse 12, the doctrine of the Lord. This was the word of salvation, as we read here, forgiveness of sins in verse number 38. And here is the message of the Lord that they need to believe and preach and practice. You and I can believe that and practice that and be persuaded and continue in verse 43, the grace of God. We're continuing today in the grace of God. We made our way here believing that it's right to do, believing that we could do that, ask God's blessing to be with us in our travel. Here we are. We're not here just as sitting people and hearing a message and it's going through one ear and out the other. It's a message that's going to the heart of our minds, the heart of our being. This is the message of salvation. It's the message of forgiveness of sins. It's a message God wanted us to hear and to obey and to practice. And I trust today as we sing this song of encouragement, if there's anyone with us that needs to respond to this saving message, this is the same message we're proclaiming today as was proclaimed back here as you read in Acts chapter 13, the history of the people of Israel. Thank you for being here. Let's stand together as we sing this good old song.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Sit on the portal, He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, no sinner, come. Has promised for you and for me. Though we have
sin, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Tonight's meeting, if we were to be here tonight, and here's what you would hear. In reference to God saying there through the psalmist, I'll do a work for you in your day that though you see it done, you would not believe it. Can any of us believe that our sins have been totally cleansed and forgotten by the Lord? The things we've said, the things we've done, the misbehavior of our lives, can we believe that that has really happened? Some can't, they want to remind the Lord that they were sinners and they still are and all this sort of business. But the idea of the Lord was, I'll do a work in your day that you would not believe though you see it. You know for truth that the Lord has forgiven it. What a blessing it is to have that to be part of our lives. God bless you all. Thank you all for being a part of this congregation and being a part of this service on a misty day today. God bless. No. I would think that we ought to say today, we'll not be meeting tonight, we'll not be meeting Wednesday night because of the circumstances. Unless it changes dramatically, we will not be meeting on Wednesday night.
Let's turn to number 419. Amen. 419. Only in thee,
O Savior mine, dwelleth my soul in peace divine. Peace that the world, though all combined, never can take from me. Pleasures of life so seemingly sweet fail at the last, my longings to me. Only in thee my bliss is complete. Only, dear Lord, in thee.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us and that we can be here this day to worship you. Thanking you, Father, for all the things that you do for us, for the material things that we have in this life that sustains us. But above all things, Father, for the spiritual things that we have that come from you, that can save us from eternal life and have a home that we have. For that, Father, we are grateful for your love and that you sent your Son into the world to die for us. And as we have gathered around this table this day, Father, to remember that death on the cross and the blood that was shed for our sins. We're grateful for being able to sing the songs of praise to you. And Father, we want you to know that we love you and
amen.
Help us, Father, in our lives that we can live it in such a way that you'll be proud of us, Father, and that someday we can look forward to that honor. Bless those that are sick, that are in our bulletin. Watch over us, Father, as we depart from this place. Care for us and help us to be safe. Father, we pray for those around the world that who have heard your gospel today. Through the media that they have, we pray, Father, that do much good for them. Thank you again so much for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.